You know, once there was a lion who was proud of his supposed mastery of the animal kingdom. And so he proudly and confidently went up to the bear and he said, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the bear, trembling, said, "Well, you, sir. Of course it's you, Mr. Lion." And the lion gave a mighty roar of approval. And so next, the lion went to the tiger and said to the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the tiger quickly replied, "Oh, everybody knows that it's you, oh great lion." And once again, the lion roared with pride. Next on the list was the lion, or was the elephant. And so the lion boldly goes up to the elephant and addresses the question to the elephant and said, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk and whirled him around a couple times and slammed him into a tree. And then he pounded him into the ground several times, finally dunking him into a nearby lake, after which he threw him up on shore. The lion, bruised and beaten, struggled to his feet, and he looked at the elephant and said, "Hey, just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean you got to get angry about it." You know, Scripture tells us in 1 Peter that our enemy is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so we need to be awake and alert. You know, part of being awake and alert is being aware of false teachers, that there's mistruth that surrounds us. You know, the book of Jude talks a lot about this and talks about how we need to contend for our faith, that we need to be devoted to our faith that is rooted and established in Jesus. You know, today we're going to be looking at a different type of false teacher, one that we may not have thought about, but it's really important that we address this. And so let us read our scripture this morning as we get started here. And this is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get.' The tax collector stood at a distance, and he could not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here we find ourselves this morning needing to confront the false teacher that I was hinting at a little bit earlier, ourselves. You know, Jesus says, to some who are confident in their own righteousness, Jesus begins this way, or as the Message translation puts it, he told this next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at common people. You know, I imagine that there were some in the crowd that day looking around like, "Boy, I sure hope that guy Jesus is talking about is listening." Let's talk about that first guy and how he gets it wrong. Now, first of all, he compares himself to others, right? Luke 18:11 says, "But the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector.'" You know, the Pharisee in Jesus' story is comparing himself with all of these other people. And if we aren't cautious, if we are not careful, we will find ourselves nodding along. "Right, I'm not like those people either. I'm not a bad person." But, you know, comparing ourselves to others gets us nowhere. Have you ever noticed that when we compare ourselves to others, we never pick people who are better than us, right? We don't compare ourselves to Mother Teresa. We don't say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like that Mother Teresa person." No, we compare ourselves to people like Hitler or Osama bin Laden, or the Cleveland Browns. You know, we compare ourselves to things like that. And yeah, those are bad people, right? Nobody's going to argue that Hitler is not bad. Nobody's going to argue that Osama bin Laden is not bad. They're really, really bad. And the same could be said for these robbers and adulterers and evildoers and tax collectors. They break the Ten Commandments. They steal from God's people. They work for the dreaded Romans. And I'll confess, I've been guilty of this, right? Early on in my ministry, I would often talk about King David and what a messed up life David had. And yet he was still a man after God's own heart. And so I would follow that up with, you know, and I'm not as bad as David, or you're not as bad as David, so we're in a good place, right? We shouldn't feel too bad about ourselves. And I did that until Jan called me out on it. And she reminded me that David was not my measuring stick. Jesus is the measure, and none of us are worthy. None of us can earn anything by our good work or by our goodness. And Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. You know, when we forget that we are sinners in need of a Savior, the temptation arises to think that we don't need a Savior. You know, we could paraphrase what the Pharisee is saying in Luke 18 by saying, you know what? I'm okay on my own. I don't need a Savior. I'm good all by myself, right? I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. But self-made righteousness falls short of what is required by a holy God. And when we begin to believe that we can do it, then we don't need Jesus. And church, that is a dangerous place to be. Secondly, this Pharisee, he trusts his works will make him righteous. Right? He says that I fasted twice a week, or I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all of I get. Now, the setting of this story is the temple courts, and the Pharisee would come in and take his usual spot in the courtyard and would begin to pray, impressively. And Jesus immediately shows the man's flaw. He says he prayed about himself. The Pharisee was confident in his relationship with God because he was quite an outstanding fellow. And so he really wasn't praying to God. He was playing to the crowd. This man's concern for going to the temple was so that everybody else could see just how good and how holy he was. He really wasn't there. He really wasn't concerned with meeting God. He was concerned that others would get an opportunity to meet him. This man was doing his duty as he always did and felt that God was certainly proud of him for doing so. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, this man did good things. The law stated that a person should fast one day a year on the Day of Atonement. This guy fasted twice a week. This man not only tithed his paycheck, but tithed his harvest, tithed his side jobs, his dividends, his bonus checks, even the proceeds of his yard sale. He knew the rituals, and he memorized all of the important stuff. He looked good on the outside, but he was actually dead on the inside. He just didn't know it. When this man came to prayer, he didn't seek God. He promoted himself. He gave his resume in his prayer. And this guy isn't unique. There are many people who believe that they will be received by God because they are good people. They'll recite how they have helped others. They'll talk about their community service, talk about their church membership and the positions that they hold. They take great satisfaction in letting others know about the money that they have contributed and the awards that they have been given. They look at their resume and they believe that God would certainly want someone like them in his kingdom. And such people, like the Pharisee, simply want to be seen, not changed. You know, the Pharisee did not want his conscience quieted. He wasn't looking for transformation. He wanted to feel good about who he was, and he wanted everybody else to feel the exact same way. Now, the Pharisee is not the only one present in this story that Jesus is talking about. There's also the tax collector. It goes on to say in Luke 18, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. So while the Pharisee is on the platform performing, this man was in the back, feeling unworthy to even approach the Lord of life. The Pharisees looked upwards and trumpeted his goodness, shared his resume. The tax collector kept his eyes low in shame, and he beat his breast as a sign of anguish and sorrow. The Pharisee felt like he deserved God's blessing. The tax collector knew that he had no right to ask God for anything. The tax collector simply threw himself on the mercy of the court. He knew his only hope was for God to extend mercy and grace. You know, church, if we want to be right with God, we must check our attitudes. If we want to be right with God, we need to compare ourselves to God's word and not our neighbor. God calls us to put everything before him and before everyone else. And when we don't do this, we dishonor him and we sin. When we refuse to do what he tells us to do, we sin. When we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to love, when we refuse to care, when we refuse to repent, we are clinging to sin rather than clinging to the Lord. Right? We are sinners in need of God's grace. As we consider our own need for mercy and grace, we will pray more compassionately for the people who surround us. You know, stop and consider if circumstances were different, that we might not be one of those people on the bad list. You know, there but by the grace of God go I. The reality that each and every one of us are sinners should not make us soft on sin, but should make us humbly grateful for mercy and grace, knowing that we have been forgiven should make us a forgiving people. Knowing that we have been shown mercy should make us a merciful people. The battle for spiritual sincerity and genuineness is one we must pursue constantly. When we spend our time trying to prove to others that we are more valuable or likable or smart or witty or capable, right, we are focusing on the wrong thing. And the result is a pretend faith and not a genuine relationship. We can be honest about our struggles and our need for his help. We don't have to become someone different when we come to the church. We can come to church knowing that God loves the real us. I mean, we're not hiding it from him. And so this is the false teaching, church, we've got to confront in our own lives. When we begin to tell ourselves, you know, you're okay. You're good. Maybe even hear, wow, you're awesome. Know that you are a sinner in need of God's grace. Know that there is a God who is offering you that grace at every step of the journey. You know, who are you really? Who's on the throne of your life? Who is it that you will worship? Will you worship the whisper? Or will you worship the one who died for you, who redeemed you, who purchased you back from sin and death so that you might have life? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word for us. And Lord, we pray that we would be more like that tax collector, that we would recognize that, Jesus, we are nothing without you, that our accomplishments mean nothing, our degrees mean nothing. We need you. Thank you for being there. Thank you, again, for not being a myth or a story, but being a reality that we can build our lives upon. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I think it comes down to, who are we following? Are we following teachers of the world that want to lead us astray, that'll get us to focus on something other than Jesus? Are we listening to the whispers that we hear in our own ear, the things we tell ourselves about how we are good enough and strong enough, and, you know, how we are self-made men and women? You know what they say about, you know, a self-made man or woman who worships their own creator? Or are we people who are led by Jesus, recognizing that you know, our position without Jesus is death? It's a spiritual separation from God. Our position with Jesus is love and joy and peace and patience and purpose and joy and, you know, all of the things that we get from having a relationship with our Lord. You know, who are you following? Who are you really? Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful that we are here today. We are grateful that we have breath in our lungs to give you praise. Lord, help us that as long as we live, that we would listen to your voice, that we would listen to your heart, that we would be yours and yours alone. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.